I know this morning none of us want to wither away. God, help us to be planted deep in the Lord. Be absorbed in the Lord. Be full of the Lord. And be totally baptized into the Lord. In so doing, then we have a security that we won't have to wither away when the dry times come. And we can have expectations that we're going to have a refreshing and that we can draw from wells of water that are down deep. The Bible speaks about in the Old Testament the nether springs, I believe, or something like that, or wells. That's those that's maybe hid from the eye and those that are obscured maybe, but they run deep and they draw from deep within the earth, not just a surface place. So thank the Lord this morning that we don't have to wither away. But I know this, Satan would like to starve us, and Satan would like to wear us out. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, is being tired and hungry. Now, I know you and me can all equate to that. Every one of us, I would stipulate this morning, have been physically tired to the point of exhaustion. That you've gone beyond the limit, and now you're running out of some type of remote control. You're just literally, literally given out. And I know we've all reached places where we, at least our stomach told us, we're starving. And we've all reached the point that we've trembled, probably, from hunger. We've all probably reached the point where we have seen the impairment that happens to our emotions when we become physically hungry. And we've noticed how things kind of lose their importance in lieu of being hungry. You ever notice that? Now, you get me hungry, and I'm talking about seriously hungry, where I'm doing this. It's best not to get between me and the whatever, peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever. Because that becomes my concentration. That becomes my focal point. Becomes something I got to have. The Bible said in Matthew 26 and 41, watch and pray. Oh, how we need to heed the words of Christ, that we not enter in to temptation. For the Spirit indeed, our desire, our wish, our want is willing. But this flesh, this lump of clay, this mortal frame is terribly weak. Watch, he said. Be extremely careful. Observe and understand. And he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation comes, does it not? Sometimes it comes in like a flood, sometimes more subtle. But temptation comes. And the exhortation and the warning, the advice of Christ is, watch and pray that you don't enter into it. Because in entering into it, there's death, separation, unhappiness, guilt, those things that come from disobedience and come from lack of attention, the mistakes. So this morning, let's watch and let's pray that we enter not into temptation. And one of the things that I want us to consider today, and we'll draw some parallels from the flesh, is being spiritually tired, which I equate sometimes with emotionally tired, spiritually tired, and spiritually hungry, spiritually depleted, spiritually lacking food. I don't believe for a moment they're necessary, and we have to have those times. But I believe they can become a reality to the strongest of saints. Hence the warning. Watch and pray. I don't believe that you have to ever become, or me, become to this place. But the warning is, let's be real careful. We've got something precious committed to us. Something very beautiful awarded us. And we want to be very careful how we handle that. We want to be careful that we have food and that we are not overcharged by the cares of life and the cares of our own burdens, but that we find in Christ the food and the rest that He has for every one of us. That we find the joy of the Lord far superior than the trials of life and their burdens. Tired and hungry are two of the very real critical areas that we should keep a very real vigil out for. Food and rest are essential. You'll die without the proper amount of food, and you'll die from lack of rest. Stress will overtake us, and the body will give up. I believe it's so with our spiritual life. Without the bread of life, without the Word of God, we will perish. We will not continue to exist as one of God's children. This congregation, without the bread of life, will cease to exist. And also, if we become overcharged with life and the burdens of life and the frustrations of life and do not find a release for that very work, for that very labor that so will encumber us, I believe we'll also die. You can work a person to death. You can work an animal to death. And we can be worked spiritually to death. And I'm saying that in terms, and we'll try to explain it as we go along, our own labors, our own goals, our own trying to fight the battle in ourselves, and trying to have an answer for every question that arises in life. Trying to work out our own righteousness. There's great labor in that, that God has not ordained that it be there. Therefore, then we become taxed, and it becomes laborious. And we're going to look at some of the things then that begin to befall people. When you get tired, that's a very dangerous place. Hebrews 2 and 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know what the implied answer is, don't you? We won't. The implied answer, the obvious answer is, if we neglect our physical body, our days will be cut short. If we don't eat enough, we'll die. If we tax our bodies beyond its ability to perform, we'll die. And so it is spiritually. If we begin to allow things in our life that God never intended to be there, or if we do not allow the very things God intended to supply us not to be there, we'll die. So the answer to the question is, we will not escape. If we, through whatever reason, it doesn't matter the reason, if we neglect this wonderful gift of God, we'll die. We'll not escape. We'll not be able to see that place where faith is lost in sight. We'll not be able to mount up with the wings of the and pinions, and as the songwriters talk about, and ascend up into heaven to ever be with the Lord. It's imperative that you and me understand the battle belongs to God. The effort is of God. Now, I know we can make a case scripturally for our effort, and that's entirely true. But I'm concerned about me, and maybe God's concerned about us today, that we recognize our responsibility is, let's say it this way. Years ago, when Brother Albert Eck and Sister Margaret Eck were married, they were farmers. And Brother Eck, we'd go out, I believe, and maybe some of the family members too. I think they lived with their parents for a while. And they go out and begin their morning chores. And then they'd have their noonday chores. Sister Eck would prepare a meal, a breakfast, or a lunch. And I don't know if she had a horn or a dinner bell or what, but she would ring the bell. Well, Brother Eck was kind of nonchalant in answering the bell. And he would finish what he was doing. Or maybe take on a little more. And the dinner was on the table. So Sister X, she approached her husband about that, and I don't know the words, but expressed to him that the effort has been made, and the food is warm and hot, and respect, would you come and eat when the bell rings? And said, from that point on, ding, 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 well, Brother X would lay down what he was doing and come and eat the noon meal. God help us out of respect to God, that we take advantage of what has been prepared for us and not be lazy or incidental or cavalier or not say, well, I'm doing this. Let's be as the apostles. As they were called, they left their nets. They left what they were doing. Because the essential thing Mary found was to sit at his feet and draw from him the source of living water. Martha was cumbered about, and it was righteous things in a sense, but she made a bad choice, and she was hurt in some fashion because of it. One, her feelings got hurt. She could not see beyond the need of the dishes, and may I say clean dishes are important, but she could not see beyond getting the turkey sliced. But Mary saw a glimpse and had an opportunity, and she said, now is the hour, now is the day, now is the time. I cannot afford for my labor to interfere. Lord, help us today to be careful of being hungry and tired in a spiritual mode. How shall we escape? We won't do it. We'll fall prey. You ever seen a prey? You ever seen an animal attacked by another? Most of us have. Have you ever seen the results of that? Most of us have. And I won't describe it. None of us enjoy the thought, I believe, of seeing another animal attack another animal for prey. It's a very harsh thing, and it's a very real thing, and a very deadly thing. Unless you and me keep a maintenance, and really more than a maintenance, a hunger and a thirst and a spiritual revival, we will become prey to that diabolical one, the devil. We'll fall prey to his ambition for us. And it will never be traceable back to anyone else, but it will always be traceable back to me. Or to you. Lord, help us. The pitfalls of the stress of life, folks, I cannot overestimate. Be careful of the stress of life. It'll rob, it'll steal. Temptations of life, the temptations that come from living in an imperfect world. Do you need renewed? I do. Do you need food to continue? I do. Do you need a place of rest and refuge? I do. Because this imperfect world bombards me at times. I jotted down some things that happened to us, and I know you could think of others. When one is tired and when one is hungry, we are prone to error. Think about it now. You become physically tired and depleted. That's a prime time for a mistake, physically and spiritually. Mistakes and emotional stress occur all too easy. When you become depleted, when you become insufficiently nourished by God, and when we try to carry loads that we were never meant to carry for us, emotional stress can start to build up like a kettle of water with a lid on it. And all of a sudden, something happens and the lid pops off and the steam comes out and oops, we've gone too far. We said more than we meant. Lord, help us to be understanding that it's not a good thing to wear ourselves out spiritually. Oh, we hear the thought of being worn out for the Lord. Let's take that in perspective. Jesus the Christ went away. Why? Because of the press. Because of Jesus, 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 pulling and tugging on him. I'm not saying he was angry at that at all. I'm saying he had to get away. Questions. What if, he never had, probably after he became known, a moment to himself unless he stole away. And then they followed him. We don't have the answers, folks, to life's questions. God does. If I or you take it on ourselves to solve the necessities of life for this world, we will become frustrated. That doesn't mean we don't care. That doesn't mean we don't put forth effort. But keep it in perspective. When we become tired and we become hungry, you know what happens to most people? They become irritable. When we begin to feel the need of nourishment and we get physically tired, mark it. Maybe you've had it happen to you, I've seen it happen. There's an irritability. One thing we want to do is we want to stop. The body is crying out to stop, stop, stop. To give up. And what we do then at those times is we begin to lose focus. Where there's no vision, people die. Nations perish. Movements go away. Causes become less than something to give your life for. You want out. You want the stress relieved. You want the hunger satisfied. Lord, help us daily to sit at Christ's feet and draw from Him and eat of His flesh, drink of His blood, be immersed in His Spirit. Cast our cares and our wants and our needs and our anxieties on Him. Turn loose and let God have control. Life is a very real thing. And if I get physically, mentally, and spiritually tired and hungry, things that I thought were important an hour ago are not as important now. My irritability will go up and I'll find myself wanting to get away. When we're tired and we're hungry, errors are made. And they become very costly to us. They become very costly in terms of money, in terms of health, in terms of friendships, in terms of fellowship. Break up homes, destroy a congregation. Reach into the very threshold and the depth of what God wanted and cause things to happen that should never happen. Remember this. When we fail to replenish and nourish ourselves and cast on the Lord our cares, costly mistakes, I don't think can happen. I believe they will happen. Because in Him we live, in Him we have our being. Without Him we have nothing. And if we segregate ourselves, regardless of the justified reason in our mind, from the source of life itself, we're going to make errors. We're going to do wrong. We're going to break fellowships and hinder relationships that God intended to be inviolable. Lord, help us not to violate His plan by overextending and thinking, I can do it. Or, oh, well, I'm going to go without food. I'm not speaking of fasting now, but I'm spiritual food. That I can do it because I'm whom I am and I know who I am. I'm afraid we don't. The flesh is weak, folks. Jesus said it. Because of hunger and thirst, our judgment becomes impaired. It does. Our attention goes elsewhere. And where does it go? To a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, of course. You get a man hungry enough, he wants food. And that's all that's on his mind. Food, 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 food. Our attention can be drawn away from the needed hand. If we become so tired, what do we want? Rest. We want to, and the devil will come in and say, well, here's the reason you're tired, and point it to God. Appoint it at the church. Appoint it at your brother or your sister, or your family, your wife. He'll come and say, well, the reason you're so worn out is this whole cross you're having to bear. No, that's a lie of the devil. Jesus said his cross was easy and his burden was light. Who made it rough? I did. Wasn't God? God didn't intend for this to be a cross that I would have to bear and almost give up because of it. No, indeed, I don't believe that a moment. It's the denial of oneself that is the hard thing for us, at least for me. Oh, I thank God. When we're tired and we're hungry, our judgment is impaired. Our attention can be drawn off so easily from the duty at hand that I'm speaking of. Our hearing is impaired and our eyesight is impaired. There was a strange phenomena that I didn't know about. Some of you are too young to remember it. But the Irish Republican Army in Northern Ireland, I'd say in excess of 20 years ago, probably 25 years ago, they went on hunger strikes. They'd go be imprisoned and they'd just go somewhere and say, I'm not going to eat till England gets out of Northern Ireland. England's still in Northern Ireland, by the way. These men, I don't know of any ladies that did it, they literally starved themselves to death. Literally. And it was a matter of weeks it took to do that. Very interesting thing. But one thing I didn't know that happens after a certain length of time without food, you go blind. These men, as they went on and deprived themselves, their eyesight failed. Lord, help us. We need our vision. We need to see Christ in His glory and see Him lifted up. We need to ascribe to Him greatness and majestic power and love. And if you and me get so absorbed in the trials of life, the duties of life, and the labors of life, and we neglect more than just the Word, but if we neglect the Word, and if we neglect the very bread of life Himself, we'll go blind. We won't be able to see afar off. And the enemy begins to come in and plant innuendos. And first thing you know, we are elsewhere. We've traveled to a place we didn't mean to travel. Because we're starving or because we're hungry. Eyesight, hearing is impaired. Then we begin to find ourselves susceptible to ideas that we would not have thought of for anything. Foreign ideas. Doctrines. Fabrications of men's mind begin to have a reasonableness to it. And then we begin to, if we're not careful, begin to fault God or fault the Word when all of the time we have neglected the most precious of relationships in that salvation. And the first thing you know, we become susceptible to false doctrine because it holds the carrot of the flesh and the appeasement of the flesh in front of us. And as an animal is tricked, we follow after it. And as the animal is tricked to go into the cage that would mean its life or its forever captivity, men have entered right into the doors of false doctrine because they were not willing to maintain something so precious. And they became tired. And they became full of their own effort and their own strength. And it failed them. Jesus said, watch and pray, didn't He? Any food, then, becomes tasty. There's a few foods I don't like. I don't care for it all. But folks, if you get me hungry enough, They're going to lose their ugliness and they're going to become tasty because it's life and I have to have it. Many years ago, when I was a boy, a teenager, we were swimming in a river in Louisiana, Red River. If you ever crossed over Red River down here by Texas, you understand. It goes right on through Louisiana into the Mississippi. And they call it the Red River for a reason. It's red. It's full of dirt. And we all went swimming and all we was having a grand old time. But then we got thirsty. And no one brought water because you go swimming, you don't get thirsty, right? No, you do get thirsty. Well, we didn't want to quit and go to town. We was having too much fun. The only thing at hand was the sewer impregnated Red River. Guess what? We drank. We drank. When you get thirsty enough, hungry enough, you'll drink and you'll eat. And you can become so weakened, so thirsty, so hungry, so blinded, so hard of hearing that the warnings of the Lord, the very exhortations of the gospel, lose their appeal to one of us, to me or to you, and we begin to drink from stagnant water. We begin to eat food that is spoiled. You've heard the horror stories of deprivation in prison camps and the Holocaust. They would eat anything, rice with maggots. Now, folks, I would have to be hungry. Wouldn't you? But they did it. People will kill when they're hungry. Steal when they're hungry. Take that over into the spiritual life. I don't want to sin, do you? No. You become so physically tired. You become so physically hungry. You'll go to any extremes to get relief. I believe that, folks. It's been exhibited all throughout society. If we get so spiritually hungry and depleted and spiritually worn out from trying to do it ourselves, we become a danger. We're not good company to be around because we can turn on the hand that feeds us. We can turn and do damage to the body of Christ even. Think about it. Watch and pray. Quality fails. What is it? You don't want to buy a car made on Monday and Friday? Monday they're all coming back from work after a big weekend. Friday they're looking forward to the big weekend. They're tired. I don't know how true that statement is. But I know this. When you get hungry and tired, quality goes down. It can't help it. It's not something that makes you a weak person. No, it makes us people. We get so hungry, so tired, what will it do to make do? Even if we're trying what we think is our best, we're impaired. I submit to you, the quality of God in us is our support. If I try to be holy on my own, if I try to bear the burdens of the Lord myself, if I try to get by without the Lord, He is my strength. He is my support. And I don't care how good of intentions I have or quality of purpose I have, the quality of my life will begin to diminish. And I mean the moral quality, the integrity, the seriousness and soberness. So Lord, help us this morning to watch and pray. Are you tired? Are you hungry this morning? God's got answers. 11th chapter of Matthew. God help us this morning to take advantage. The dinner bell's ringing, folks. Jesus has a table spread. And beside that table is a cot. There's a rest there also. A lot of times, farmers and people who work hard, I knew a man one time, every day he'd eat and he'd go find him, this was out in a construction yard, plants. He'd go find him a shady space and kick his feet back 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. Just as regular as clockwork. May the Lord help us today to recognize in this that God promises us is food, and right beside it is a rest, a place to repose safe in the arms of Jesus. Over in Matthew, the 11th chapter, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thank the Lord for that this morning. God has promised us a rest. God has invited us to this place. God has invited us to this relationship. God has invited us to a glorious rest. If you look in Isaiah 11 and 10, you will see when it speaks about the coming Messiah and His kingdom, and it said, and His rest shall be glorious. Praise God this morning that God has a rest superior to anything that we can fathom, from the tiredness and the struggles of one's own self, one's own trying, one's own effort. God has a place that is glorious. And that word glorious can mean splendid. That word glorious here in the Hebrew can mean copious. One place is that I'll pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to contain it. David said, my cup overflows or is full and runs over. Jesus said that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, their Father, my Father, your Father, which is in heaven. Copious. A rest that's on display. A rest that has ceased its own struggling and fretting and trying to figure it out and work it out and trying to mold others or someone else or some situation into what you think. See, it's copious. It just overflows. They'll see your good works, your rest, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. This word, glorious, can mean honorable. It can mean with dignity. You know, there are some people that just rest all the time. They're lazy. Now, that's not an honorable rest. That's not a dignified rest. But did you know the Lord said He's going to plant in Zion, put in Zion a stone, a chief stone, a cornerstone, and they that build and believe on Him should not be ashamed? God has a rest to His people that's dignified. It's a dignified and honorable in this sense. They take the task appointed to them and they follow through in the Lord and accomplish it, or they do what God wants them to do, but they don't feel the necessity or the vanity of life to go beyond that. And they don't take the results on themselves, either the glory or the failure. If it does not work out the way God intended, so be it. I did what God called me to do. If it works out exactly the way God intended, then praise and honor to His name. I'm only an earthen vessel. I can do no more. I cannot accomplish the divine, and neither can any of us. None of us can go beyond the limit set because of the flesh and the mind. We're limited to the degree God blesses us. We can't change society because of an argument. But we can pray, we can fast, we can submit it to God and say, Lord, Thy will be done. We can live the life, but God's got a rest for us that's dignified. That when it comes down to it, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. God's through with me now. I've done my best. I've confessed my wrongs. I've confessed the times that I've acted out of the order. God's kept me, and God's had mercy on me. I fought a good fight. Folks, a good fight is not your fight. It's God's fight. It's submitting to the rest God has to us when things, I just know I could do a better job than God could. Be careful. Never would we say that. But watch out. Watch out. And pray. that we don't assume that responsibility on ourselves. God has a rest, he said, for the people of God. So I'm thinking this concerning rest. We should expect it. We should expect it. What happens when our expectations aren't met? There comes a point of who's responsible. I think all of us have been there. I'd like to read in Hebrews 4 and begin at the 9th verse, 4 and 9 of Hebrews. Very emphatic statement, and it goes along with who Christ is, Prince of Peace. There remaineth, regardless of what anybody says, regardless of situations, regardless of what's going on in mine or your emotions or mind, when I was so tore up in my mind, whatever day that was, that I was going down the runway in Oklahoma City. I don't care if that was happening, folks. The Bible is still true. Right there at that precise moment, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't get it, it wasn't God's fault. It wasn't your fault. If I had failed to have that impression from the Lord and acted on it, it would be no one's fault. Be mine. Because I believe with all my heart, in spite of what comes, death, disappointment, betrayal, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. From my righteousness, of course, but from the assault that I try to figure out in myself. For he that is entered into his rest, or God's rest, or the rest that's proposed for us, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I'd like to submit to us this morning that the reason is never God's fault. For some way, somehow, we have never been able, if that be the case, to cease from our own labor. I'm guilty of that at times, have been. I confess that. And I can tell you that it never had the desired results that I wanted it to have. I was as confused when it was all over with as when I went into it. I didn't have a testimony. I didn't have a joy to the Lord. Because I had endured under my own strength and I fought the battle the way I thought it ought to be fought. And I lost, folks. I lost. I lost the blessing. I lost that pat, well done, Stan. Because I didn't know how to turn loose and cease from my own effort. My own effort to be righteous as a filthy rag. My effort and yours to effectively work the work of God is nothing. Lord, help us to know this morning there remains a turning loose, a letting go, and a peaceful rest in Jesus Christ. He said in the 12th, 13th verse, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you know what adults have to learn pretty early on? People have to learn. We have to learn to cover up. Modesty is something that can be taught, but modesty to a big degree is something that happens. I could enshroud myself from head to toe with layers of clothing. God would see every point on my body, literally speaking. Lord, help us to know right here today that we are totally exposed to God. A little baby, no clothes, so what? You know, you take a little baby, wow, he's happy, she's happy. Innocency. Not knowing the things that we have to learn, and I agree we have to learn. God said, it's all open before me. May we be as that little child, fully understanding that everything about me is understood by God, and rest in that. He knows my fears. He knows my wants. He knows my ambitions. He knows my temptations. He knows my desires. He knows the things that trouble me. Accept that and be grateful for it. Accept that and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You understand. Now I can rest. Now I said that pretty fast, and I know it's not that easy. But folks, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. If I can't turn loose, the rest is still there. If I kick and say, I got to get it, or I got to make my own bed, and fail, the rest is still there. It's all open before you. We do not have to labor under life's pains as if God doesn't know or as if God doesn't care. But we can come to a place that my God knows. Now I can rest. I've taken it to the judge. I've taken it to the great one. I can rest. It's not some kind of pie in the sky. It's a reality that there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Luke 11 and 9 through 13. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Then he went on to say, for everyone that asketh, receive it. And then he said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? We're going to stop here, and got some more to say about food, but we're time's up. Here's what the promise is. Tarry in Jerusalem, and I'm going to give you the promise of the Father. Tarry in Jerusalem, I'm going to bring glorious rest to you. Tarry in Jerusalem, and I'm going to give you power, supernatural divine power. Tarry in Jerusalem, and lose yourself and find yourself at the same time. Tarry in Jerusalem and be renewed from on high. He said, how much, if I know how to give to my child food, encouragement, and a good, sound, safe, comfortable bed, how much more does my Father, your Father, know how to give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? What a wonderful privilege. I come to you, Lord, needing rest. I come to you, Lord, with my broken pieces. I come to you, Lord, with my mistakes. I come to you, Lord, with my effort. I come to you, Lord, with my pressing and trying and working and striving and fretting. Lord, I come to you. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm depleted. I've made some errors. I've questioned right. I've looked at wrong. I've done that which has hurt me on the inside in my emotions. Out of this despair, Lord, and my frustrations, please, please, please give me your Holy Spirit. Please, God, please give me your rest. And he said, how much more so? How much more so is the Father? Father, willing now to give you that rest, give you that Holy Spirit? To who? To those who cut and maim themselves? No. To those who ask. I thank God this morning that God wants you and me to be well fed. Maybe we can finish this sometime. God wants you and me to have a rest. Then to all the things that happen to someone that is exhausted and depleted of energy, of food, won't befall you and me spiritually. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be alive. And God wants us to have a rest. You pray for me.